Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. We get a chance to visit with the IHSA's Kurt Gibson. We're going to talk a little bit about bass fishing today, esports, and I wanted to begin with basketball because he's the basketball administrator. And we're underway with the COVID-19 basketball season that basically started in late January and transitioning here now to the latter portion of February as we speak. So we're playing. So a little bit about maybe some of the conversations or what you've been hearing around the state.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. And as always, great to be with you. Hope you and yours are doing well and everybody in the WRMJ listenerhood is doing well. And yeah, it's great that we're finally back playing, you know, various sports and activities. And I know that from a basketball perspective, things have seemingly gotten along pretty well. I think that the biggest thing we've noted so far this year, though, is, and we knew this was going to be partly the case going in, we have had a number of officials that have opted out of working this year. And so I know in some parts of the state we've had some difficulty in getting all the games schools wanted to play in because of some official shortages. But I think schools are doing their best to be creative with scheduling and figure out, you know, ways that all their different levels can have some games. And that might have been a little bit, you know, everybody when the schedule was or when it was announced that there could be games, you know, everybody would certainly want to try to get in as many games as possible. And possibly we've seen here a little bit over scheduling given the shortage of officials in some areas. But I know from what I've seen and talk to folks, they're glad to be back on the court playing and, you know, getting to engage with student athletes again. So I think that's the biggest positive takeaway.
Yeah, and I've heard some of those conversations, too, regarding, you know, the concern over officials. And I know even without the pandemic that there was a concern. But I haven't heard, at least in this area, any games that that were postponed or rescheduled. Now, has that been an issue in some other parts of the state? I guess I should back up and question, has that been a serious issue in other parts of the state? Or has it just been more chatter about it?
Yeah, just more chatter. It hasn't gotten what I wouldn't describe it as a serious issue at this point in time. But there has been some chatter, and there have been some parts of the state where they've had to. And eventually, I shouldn't say these games are getting postponed. Maybe two schools were going to play on a Tuesday. Initially, couldn't find some officials, so the game got moved to maybe Wednesday or a Thursday when they finally could find some officials. There have been some games lost in some parts of the state, but it's been more chatter than the norm.
And again, always, whatever the sport is, you know, the IHSA is always looking for officials, and the great resource is just going to the IHSA.org website, and you can, you know, just search officials there and find out how you want to become an official. It's not that challenging of a process.
No, and it's a great way to give back to, you know, young people in the communities where people reside.
All right, so from a historical standpoint, I've just wondered, so, and I think I've even asked you this before, so, and I thought one of the interesting things, I read it on the IHSA Facebook page this week, and I'm like, wow, it's been a year. So they posted the picture of the last IHSA in-person state champion that was crowned the March 3A, last March, the 3A, 4A girls basketball state title, and I'm like, man, it's been a year. I mean,
doesn't it seem like it's been more than a year, though?
Yeah.
It's been like 3 years.
Yeah. So, I mean, can you put that like in perspective at all when you, you know, when I read that, I'm like, man, it has been a year. I walked out of that Princeton gym last year at the 2A boys basketball sectional with Rock Ridge, and then the world came to an end. So, I mean, can you put any of that in perspective?
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard because the year has, since that time, has had so many seemingly darker days than good days. It does feel like the end of the tunnel is visible, and that's the best thing that comes out of this. But it has been, you know, to just think about, I guess for me, I just think about it like this. If I think about it from my perspective, just the change this has brought in my life. Many fans will be aware that not only myself, but others in our office, you know, we try to be out on the road during different seasons. We try to, you know, stay abreast of developments with sports that are going on, how are new rule changes being implemented, what trends are we seeing. And, you know, you want to go out and see coaches and players and officials. And to just have that void in just in my life, and I'm a real bit player in this movie here, but just to have that void in my life, it has just been just something I never would have imagined would ever have occurred. And it's even unusual now with games being played and I'm catching them just on a video stream, which is great, but it certainly you miss that interaction with people. And I think that's what we're all itching to get back to, is having that more consistent interaction with people, whether it's at a ball game, whether it's at the post office, the coffee shop, you name it.
Yeah, and I know here within the past couple of weeks, the IHSA has crowned state champs virtually, I think, with chess, and then the state speech series they've been able to do.
Yeah, cheer coming up.
Yeah, so it's good to get those type of things where hopefully you can get back to normal. And I was, you know, thinking about like the basketball then. So boys basketball, it'll be 2 years without crowning a state champ in basketball. So is it just basically when you look at the you know, record books, as you look at how this is, I guess, recorded in IHSA history, so in 2021 and 2020 it will just say, you know, under state champs 1A through 4A in boys basketball, it'll just say vacant, basically nothing, COVID.
Yeah, right. I think what we have listed there from last year is, you know, tournament wasn't held due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So I'm sure that'll be some similar kind of language that we'll put in the record book for this season as well.
Yeah, and I was thinking about
played through world wars, but yeah, we couldn't get through that pandemic.
Yeah, well, it was crazy,
crazy stuff.
Yeah, well, because from a local angle, you talk about that, you know, it's just a little small market radio conversation here. I know when we did a story last year on the Mercer County Fair, you know, all the summer events were canceled because of the pandemic.
Mm, yeah.
And there was only two other times the Mercer County Fair had been canceled, and one was because of financial difficulties, and then the other was because of the Civil War.
So, oh, okay.
Because of the pandemic. But, you know, this year would have been the first year, right, if it would have been a normal year, this would have been the first year of the state basketball tournament back at Champaign, and then this would have been the first year, right, that all four classes – would have been crowned on the same weekend for basketball. Now, going forward, still going to, when we get back to normal, it's still going to be that format. Nothing has changed there. And the next time there's a state basketball tournament in person, it'll be at the State Farm Center?
That's correct. Yep, yep. Exactly like you just described. We'll have all four classes conducted over a three-day period, Thursday through Saturday. Saturday will be a championship day where there will be four games. There will be four championship games, and yeah, we're really looking forward to that.
Now, does that impact the contract with the University of Illinois and the State Farm Center? Is that extended another year, or is that yet to be determined?
Well, we've had some initial discussions with the folks in Champaign, and yeah, we're planning that we'll just extend the contract by a year.
Okay, all right. So
the original terms were for 3 years, so instead of, you know, 21, 22, and 23 being the 3 years of that agreement, it'll be 22, 23, and 24.
Okay. And I know the IHSA board is meeting, I think, whatever that Monday is, March 7th or March 8th.
March 8th, I think, yeah.
Yeah. And I know one of the things that we're going to talk, I was interacting with Greg Anderson here earlier this week, and, you know, one of the things that I know that'll be brought up is what is going to be the issue involving the state tournament series for like baseball, softball, and boys and girls track. But I wanted to get you on to talk a little bit about, you know, bass fishing as we move forward here in 2021. So can you explain a little bit about what's going on with that?
Yeah, I sure can. The board also met on the 19th of February. That's the other thing, you know, with the pandemic, every day has been the same, right? So, but it was a Friday, last Friday, so the February 19th, the board met. And at that meeting, The board discussed and approved state series competition for bass fishing and badminton. So that was certainly great news. So what that means for bass fishing is we're going to move ahead with our schedule, which would have 25 sectional tournaments held around the state on Thursday, May 6th. 25 sectionals Thursday, May 6th, and then we'll have a rain date, but it's not going to rain, right?
Yeah.
If we have to, we'll have a rain date of Monday, May 10th. So the board then also, after approving those, then talked about whether or not, state finals could be held. And that discussion eventually was tabled. Certainly the board's not averse to having state finals in sports coming up, bass fishing, baseball, softball, whatever. But there are a lot of, so many moving parts and so much travel, and the events go on for periods of time that for many schools necessitate overnight stays. The board's just taking a more cautious approach on how feasible something like that might be. And for your listeners and our bass fishing fans out there, they would know for our bass fishing tournament, it's a two-day event, a Friday and a Saturday. There's also a pre-fishing day that schools just take advantage of so they can get used to the lake, find some spots where they think the fish are going to bite, etc. And so it becomes a 3 days on the water situation, which is going to require probably at least two overnights. And in this time, that's maybe still a little bit much to be asking of schools, and not every school is going to have a similar comfort level for something like that. So the board said, we're going to table the discussion on a state finals. We'll revisit that on the 8th, but they also encouraged staff, not only for bass fishing, but for all sports, to consider, are there other possible ways that there could be competition that maybe involves multiple rounds but doesn't maybe result in a traditional state final, maybe some things done more on a geographic basis. So with that as sort of a charge, we're back in our laboratory maybe looking at how we might be able to create a second round for bass fishing, maybe bring four or five sectionals together a couple of weeks after the sectional tournament and have those however many schools that advance fish in another body of water and maybe crown some kind of winner of that event. And maybe that's where it ends. That way we might be able to do something that involves more students, that doesn't necessitate an overnight, doesn't require, lengthy travel, and is something that schools can have another opportunity to work with their students on. So we got a couple of irons out there that we're working on right now. I actually have had a chance to meet with our advisory committee, and we've talked about a couple of ideas. So we're going to continue to work on having at least an alternative for the board to consider at their meeting on March 8th, in addition to having them decide if they want to move ahead with the state finals or not. But if they don't, then we do want to have something else for them to at least look at and consider, and maybe that would work, maybe that wouldn't. Time will tell on that.
All right, so you said 25 sectionals for bass fishing. Are you adding some locations, or is that the same number you had?
Well, that's a great question. 25 was a number we would have had last year, and we were adding three new sectionals last year. One just actually a little bit south of where you are. We were going to add a new location at Lake McMaster. So that was just one example. But yeah, we had previously had 22 sectionals. We've had so much growth that some of our lakes were getting probably oversaturated, with the number of boats on them. So the advisory committee felt like we needed to probably try to reduce the load in some places. So three sectionals were added last year. We just weren't able to hold those events, unfortunately. So yeah, 25 is the right number, and the number we'll have for this year.
Now, do you know off the top of your head how many member schools are entered for IHSA bass fishing this school year?
Yeah, really good question. We've just opened up our entry portal for schools who now go into our school center and enter. A year ago, our numbers were just under 350 schools.
Wow.
So we'll have to see, you know, what we found is this year, as we've been offering the state series competitions in different sports, the majority of schools who signed up in previous years are signing up this year, but it's not necessarily at that 100% level. So it's a little bit of a guesstimate at this point, but I would be shocked if we still didn't find somewhere around 300 to 310 schools end up signing up for bass fishing this year.
Yeah, and I think what the tournament, state tournament series for bass fishing is a little over 10 years old, and I think when it first started, maybe 150, 190 some odd schools. So you're talking about, you know, doubling the number of member schools,
right.
And you have half of, if you're approaching the 400 mark, you're approaching half of the, member schools.
Yeah.
So in, I know you've talked about it before that your big concern is, you know, as you get more teams, you need more places to fish. And,
right. And how do we manage that? And I think that's, you know, it's been a continued discussion with the advisory committee. And there's no guidebook for this, but it feels very much to people in the bass fishing world here that we've probably reached a point where we need to have a second round of a tournament anyway before a state finals, you know, because we have so many schools participating. And so we really need to add that next layer to a tournament. So we need to start figuring out how we can have a regional kind of tournament, then a sectional, and then advance, you know, a number of boats to a state finals.
And still only one Mississippi River location of the 25 sectionals is that pool location up near Savannah, because I always thought maybe the way to expand is get, because I this is a pure homer in me talking, in Mercer County I'm like, man, we need to, I think we got the ideal backwaters off the Mississippi River, off the New Boston, off of the banks of the Mississippi River in Mercer County. And we have an Abe Lincoln life-size statue to show for it too. But it still is. So Mississippi River, there's still only one location in the postseason.
Still at this time, one. The folks in your area have reached out to us, expressing their interest and maybe having us looking at adding another pool, you know, on the river to use as a site, and we'll give that some consideration, particularly if we look to down the road expand the tournament like I was just talking about.
All right, that's awesome.
Yeah, for right now, just that pool 13, it's called pool 13 up there in that, like you said, Savannah region.
Yeah, I've covered a couple of those sectionals in small market radio up there. I love covering that type of activity, and I hope that the people in Mercer County are serious about maybe looking at exploring the possibility of getting a sectional or a postseason site here. All right, so we go from basketball to bass fishing, and I know this pandemic has put a halt to a lot of different things and progress of a lot of different things of trying to, you know, to develop whatever. And I know we have talked to you before many times about esports or video gaming, and I know there's been an advisory committee. I think it's been declared an emerging sport, but here in the last, I wouldn't say you were necessarily on the fast track when we talked to you last school year, but I know there was some movement potentially for looking at a potential state tournament series, but I'm assuming that the pandemic has impacted that progress a little bit.
It has, because what you just described is exactly where we had found ourselves. We were ready, over a year ago to have a recommendation to our board, and when things shut down, we really didn't feel like it was prudent at that time to move ahead with something new, because there are going to be a number of schools when we do move forward. You're right. There are a bunch of schools that are participating in esports right now. That's why we've got it at this emerging sport level. But we also know a number of schools will onboard it as soon as we announce we're going to move ahead with a program. And there's some costs with that, not only from a staffing perspective, but you got all kinds of technology and infrastructure that you need. So that's been put on the back burner. We're hopeful that later this spring we might be able to resurrect that discussion and have some kind of a competition or state series as soon as next school year. Really what we need to decide is if we want to either go our own way, or if we want to try to partner with a third-party provider. There are a number of folks out there that are willing to help organize and conduct contests for our schools. That comes with a cost. So another reason why we've been a little cautious in moving down that road. But it seems like those costs are dropping from where they were even as much as 18 months ago. So it might be something that's a little more enticing to us. But that's really the big decision that we've got to get resolved here for us, is if we want to go on our own or if we want to partner with someone to sort of do the heavy lifting.
So, you know, long story short, then it's not if there's going to be a state tournament series in esports. It's basically when is there going to be a state tournament series in esports?
Yep. We're still hopeful it'll be next year, but if it's not in, and it would likely be when it is held, it would likely be in the spring. So if not the spring of 22, then it'd be the spring of 23.
All right. And let's hopefully, by then, I know, this is my guarantee, I know we'll be back to normal.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
I'll take that bet.
All right.
I'm with you. We'll take on all comers. I'm not taking you on because I think you're wrong. I know you're right.
Yeah. All right. And then the other thing I forgot to ask you about, you know, basketball, the one neat thing, I was doing a story earlier this year, a couple of weeks ago, that the way they opened up the season, because I still dig like the small, really small school history, and that little 10 tournament, they decided to open their season with the conference tournament, and I think it's over like 102 years is how old it was. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was like a cool, there's little battles and little victories we can get here. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool story to begin the basketball season, is they're going to still have that tournament. They're going to get a 102nd year of that little 10 conference tournament. So that's a cool story, right?
It totally is. I mean, that's, there's so many stories like that. You mentioned, you know, the Mercer County Fair, and whether it's that or the Little 10 tournament, people are proud of those events that mean a lot to their communities. And I had the opportunity to coach in the Little 10 tournament, so I know how important that is to those folks. And so, yeah, my heart was warmed when I saw that they were going to, you know, get that in this year, in spite of, you know, all the challenges that had been presented.
Wait a minute. So you coach for who in the Little 10 tournament? What year was that?
Well, it would have been with the Hinkley Big Rock Royals, and that would have been back, oh, man, Mr. Taylor, you're really taxing my memory here early today. But that would have been when I was getting married, so that would have been like in the 94, 95, 95, 96 school years.
Oh, wow. All right. So yeah. You're part of that 102-year mystique of that tournament. All right. Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right.
And I know you know this, but, you know, the gym in Hinkley, Illinois, is where the Globetrotters played their first game.
Wait a minute. Back I did not know that.
1927, I believe. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that. Well, I'm going to have to follow up on that story and do something on that. Thanks for tipping me off. I appreciate that.
All right, you got it. Yeah.
All right, always great to visit with Kurt Gibson with the IHSA. We've covered enough today, and it's great. You know, we were talking off there. It's kind of great to get back into somewhat of a routine, and I think that makes the coaches feel better, the student athlete feels better, the IHSA staff feel better, the officials feel better, the small market radio guy feel better. So that's how we'll end it. We all feel better right now, and hopefully we're getting better as each day goes along.
I'm with you. Sounds perfect. Let's keep that ball rolling.
All right. That's Kurt Gibson with the IHSA joining us on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.